Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. While you're turning there, I leave for the country of Haiti Tuesday. I leave the house about 5:30, a little earlier. And we'll be down there till the 24th, Tuesday to Tuesday. Brother Steve Coomer is going to be preaching the 9 o'clock service. Brother Josh Bates at 11 o'clock. Brother Tad Floyd's going to be preaching the 6:30 next Sunday night. Incredible preachers for all services. On Wednesday night in this adult class, we have Mr. Teen Florida himself going to be preaching. Jeff Meadows back there. And it's going to be, you're going to have a wonderful time. I thank God for the wonderful preachers that we have here in this house. Bible teachers, expositories on the Word of God, and just praise God for how He's blessed us. He's blessed us incredibly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, who was rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now ye also, as living lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I forgot to do this, so let's do it right now. Thank you, Jesus. For a few moments tonight, as they get some things prepared, we're going to preach a message entitled, A Holy Priesthood. A Holy Priesthood. And we're just going to believe that God's going to open up the scripture to us in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay, anoint the ears that they would hear. Let your word go forth in demonstration and power. And we'll never fail to give you all the praise and the glory. And the church says, hallelujah. Oh, let's lift our hands and praise him. Glory, glory. Come on, let's praise him. Can we lift our voices? Come on, lift your voice and praise him. Come on, priest. Come on, open those voices. Let's give him honor. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. You know, I was a student at Northern Kentucky University several years ago. Actually, I was 18 years old when I first entered. When I changed my major finally to education, I started taking classes in particular about development. And one of them enable the elementary teacher or the school teacher of any kind to understand how to educate. We had to take a class called Human Growth and Development to understand all aspects of what takes place from the conception to the delivery all the way up through that child. And one of the things I found out through human biology and also in those classes was after the three trimesters have been complete, the 9-month gestation period has come to a finale, and now it's time for the delivery of this child that the mother's been carrying. That child has been hooked up to that old world. That child has been living in that womb, floating around in the embryonic fluid like a little fish in an aquarium. He's just been floating around, getting three hot meals, getting Gold Star chili, pickles, hot dogs, chili three ways, onions, chop suey, little Chinese, jalapenos, sauerkraut, spare ribs, barbecued chicken, collard greens, smoked neck bone and mustard greens, chicken and dumplings. And I'm telling you, that baby loves it. It's 98.6. It's just like living in the Caribbean, floating around in that embryonic fluid. No way to bump its little knee, no way to hurt its little toe. There's no way to scratch its little face. It's with its mother all the time. It hears everything that's going on. All the things. It's just total, total contentment in that world. But then there comes time for the mother to travail. The baby's not travailing. It's not that baby that says, hey, I got to get out of here. I got 2 feet that want to walk. I got 2 hands that want to work. I've got a mouth that wants to speak. I've got eyes that want to see something. I can't see anything. Come on, get me. It's not the baby that goes into travail. It's the mother that says, it's time. I can't sleep. My back hurts. My side hurts. My ankles are swelling. My shoulders are hurting. I can't hardly get in to drive the car. I can't hardly get out of the car. You are leaving as quickly as possible. So the mother, once she goes into travail, she has to push, has to shove this babe into the world in which it's created. She pushes this babe into this world. And when the obstetrician, the doctor, or the midwife, or whoever happens to be delivering that baby, the taxi driver, or who knows, when they clamp that umbilical cord, you see those hot meals, the oxygen and the hot meals have been coming in that umbilical cord for 9 months. So that baby's been getting all of that smoked neck bone and mustard greens through that umbilical cord. Been getting that apple pie and Grater's ice cream and cotton candy, and I hope you're not hungry. And been getting all of that, and you that are not eating meat for the next 21 days, filet mignon, pork chops, and fried chicken. All been coming down that umbilical cord. Oxygen has been coming in that umbilical cord. But the doctor, the midwife, or whoever's making the delivery grabs a hold of the old connection. And when the old connection is clamped off, that babe, there's a mechanism in the brain that says, your old world is gone. You're going to have to breathe air a different way. You're going to have to draw life a different way. And all at once, when that umbilical cord is clipped off, that babe, according to the biological mechanism, that babe will open its mouth and gasp for air. Now, if it don't, they have to shake it. And if they still can't get that baby to gasp for air, in the movies, they slap it on the posterior section. Now, you can't do that nowadays. That's child abuse, you know. No, you can't slap anybody on the hind end. That's over with. But in the movies, they used to do it all the time. Crack that baby. Wah! And that baby gets mad and screams. Well, that scream saves its life. So the baby now is breathing new air. But then after about 2 or 3 hours, that babe is laying there. And I used to look at him. I loved it when we brought him home because where I'd look at him, I'd look at him and mimic their faces. They go. Now you listen by CD, you don't know what's going on, but you do know there's somebody out there doing a little... little laughter. I was making baby faces. Now, after 2 or 3 hours, all at once that babe says, wow, where's the smoked neck bone and mustard greens? Where's the gold star chili with onions and mustard? Where's the, where's the chop suey? Where's the barbecued chicken? Where is it? There's another mechanism that says, you're not going to get it from the old connection anymore. Your old connection's been cut off. If you're going to eat, now this is before, the Bible was written before we had bottles. And when you go to a third world country, they don't know what bottles are. So when you sit in the church, you're going to find out how nature works. Amen, Brother Bates. So when the Bible says, as babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, He's not giving you the mental imagery of a baby holding on to a bottle and somebody just walking up and giving this baby a bottle and it nursing on that. But no. When the scripture was written, there was no disconnect between babe and mama. There was no such thing as a disconnect. If you were a baby and you were going to live, you're going to have to draw life from the one who gave you life. Do you understand? Now, I'm telling you what happens. The Bible said we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. And when we are born again, the first thing that happens, the moment we say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the moment you say those incredible, awesome words, Jesus, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, or Jesus, I need you, or help me, or from your heart, however you speak to God through your heart and you're crying out to a God that you know loves you, all at once the old world is cut off and you get a taste of air you have never breathed before. You get a taste of life you have never had before. You get a taste of another world and you say, oh my goodness, there is something, there's a peace that came over me. That's what happened just a few weeks ago after the Friday night movie. There was a visitor that came with one of our brothers here and he'd been having some situations. After the film was over, he came up and started talking. And the more we talked about it, the more he talked about how he needed Jesus and didn't know what to do and didn't know how to say anything. And one of the brothers looked at him and said, I think you need to pray now. He said, well, I don't know how to pray. I said, well, just repeat after me. And he looked at me and said, well, I think it sounds like I'm getting married here. And he didn't really know what to say, but he began to repeat after me. All we said was, Jesus, I need you. I help myself. I need you to help me in this situation. I need you to help me in this difficulty. And the moment that he said it, as sure as I'm standing up here, the Holy Ghost cut off that old world system. He got a breath of life that he'd never had before. He opened up his eyes and he goes, wow, I didn't know you get peace that quick. He said, I can't believe this feeling that's over me. He said, there's a rush that's going all over me. And that rush is a peace that's come to my soul. That's new air you begin to breathe. That's new air you begin to breathe. But you see what his situation is and what Everbond's situation is. Then the next thing that happens is you've got to come to the knowledge and say, I can't live off of what I used to live off of before. As a matter of fact, my life used to be full of malice. My life used to be full of contention. There was a time it was a contentious in my home. It was contentious at work. It was contentious with my husband. It was contentious with my ex-wife. It was contention with my other ex-wife. It was contention with my other ex-wife. It was contention with my other ex-employer. It was contention with my children. It was contention. I lived in malice. I lived in a drama. God don't want you living in a drama. And quit blaming it on high blood. Quit blaming it on low blood sugar. And quit blaming it on other things. Quit trying to tell yourself you're bipolar. You've never been to the North Pole or the South Pole. That's nothing but a bunch of baloney. You are not bipolar. You don't have any kind of problems. You don't have to say, well, I'm going through female situations or whatever. Just call it what it is. It's that old flesh that has an appetite for that old world. And until you understand, don't say, well, I think I might have a problem. You know you got a problem. And you're going to have to zoom in on that problem and say, I can't live off of this malice anymore. I got to quit this stuff. You know good and well you're not bipolar. Throwing that dog across the house, knocking pictures off the wall, turning the supper table over and all the gravy falling on the floor. And then I come to the door and you walk in and you say, Pastor Tom, it's so good to see you. And you turn that old bipolar off when the preacher comes in. You're not bipolar. Quit using that excuse. Quit saying, oh, my daddy did this. So what about your daddy? You've been born again and your heavenly father... You've been born again. You've been born again. Your heavenly Father's never turned the table over and knocked gravy on the floor. Your heavenly Father's never kicked the dog down the steps. Your heavenly Father don't say bad words and you call it French and blame that mess on the French folks. It's not, you're not speaking French. And quit saying, pardon my French. You're flat dog cussing, and it's not in your lineage when you get born again. You come to a new kingdom. You come to a new way of walking. You come to a new way of talking. So the Bible said you can't live in malice anymore. Cut the drama. You might say, well, I'm a woman. That's just the way a woman acts. That's the way a worldly woman acts. You're worldly is what you are. That's why you live in drama. And the same thing with the man. You live in this contention all the time. All the time got your kids mad at each other. All the time testing them to see if they really love you or not. Quit living like that. Quit living in those kind of contentious worlds. He said, all right. He said you used to feed off of guile. You used to feed off of saying little ornery things. You used to feed off of saying bad things. Hallelujah. You used to live off of guile. There was ugly stuff come out of you. You used to make horrible remarks about people when they walk in. He said that's how you used to live. That's what you used to feed off of. But he said, I don't want you feeding off that anymore. I don't want you feeding off of hypocrisies. I don't want you coming in here. Listen, you can spray Chanel number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 on your temper when you come in the house of God, but it's not going to change who you are. The only way to change it is to understand, I'm going to quit living off of it. I'm going to quit feeding off of it. I'm going to quit smacking the wife. I'm going to quit cussing the children. I'm going to quit living like this. I need new life. I need to draw my strength from another source. I need to draw my strength from my Father. Let's give him some praise today. Come on, let's give him praise. Oh, shout a while. Glory to God. I said glory to God. He said, put away all hypocrisies. Quit turning on your church face at 10 to 11. Coming in here walking like some starch. Got so much starch in your drawers you crack when you walk. Nothing worse than a bunch of snooty church folks that'll smile like a daisy and treat you like a junkyard dog when they see you at the bank. He said, I'm sick and tired of your hypocrisy. I don't want you to live like hypocrites. I don't want you to live in drama. I don't want you to live in guile. I don't want you living in envies. I don't want you driving down the road all the time saying, well, look what he's got. Look what he's got. Look what kind of car she's got. So what? So what everybody else has got? You're not in this world anymore. You hear me? You're born again. You know, I've seen hundreds of people die, and I've been by their bedside. And in the old days when I pastored here, just as a young man, I'm the one that was there whenever the funeral home came and put them in the body bag and carried them away. I was with Brother Hensley when they carried him out. I was with Brother Runyon. I was with many of them. I can name hundreds that I've watched die. I've been by their bedside, and I've seen them die. And let me tell you something, folks. There is a different atmosphere when a sanctified child of God makes their last journey. Do you hear me? I went to the bedside the other day over in hospice to sit by Brother Pearl Brock, one of the men that wrote songs, a godly man. It's Dean and Connie and Perry's uncle. It's their brother Larry. It's his brother. And I went over there. He's already had a stroke. He shows very little signs of that he's even living other than a breath every now and then. But when you walked in by that bedside, my goodness, I had to cross over angels just to get to him. I could feel the spirit of the living God. Don't you tell me that this thing's not real. I don't have to have an organ, don't have to have a tambourine, and I don't have to have 1,000 people to give God praise. I can walk right into hospice. I can walk into a man that's taking his last breath. I can feel resurrection power. Because listen, folks, if you want to be exited out of here right, then you're going to have to make some right decisions. You're going to have, if you want angels carrying you out of here, then get some angels now and have them on your journey. So when you say your last breath, nobody's got a question question what's going on in your life. I began to sing to him, and when I did, laying there, and it looked like a comatose state, couldn't even open his eyes, 93 years old, and I got to that part. Oh, ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Begin to tap my foot and slap my hands and sing the praises of God. All at once, that elbow went up like this, and the head began to shake, just like your grandmother, Wayne, when I went into the hospital, when I went into the nursing home there. And Ma'am Shell, 97 years old, I'd never seen her hair down, but they had taken it down and made a little braid. Her head was turned sideways. Her mouth was open, and they had oxygen on her. And as they said, the doctor come up to me and he said, well, she's in a coma. She's never going to know you're here, but if it'll make you feel better. That's what he said when I got there. He said, if it'll make you feel better, preacher, go on in and talk to her. I thought, you don't know who I'm talking to. We're hooked up to something this world don't know about. The connection to this world was cut off a long time ago. We've been connected to a heavenly. You hear me? We've been connected. And what happens is the earthly body, just like your mother shoves you into this world, your earthly body shoves you in the next world to come. And I went in there and I began to sing to ma'am. I think I was singing on heaven's bright shore. There'll be no more crying over there. Not one little tear in all that fair land. Hallelujah. All at once, in a comatose state with her head turned sideways, in a deep state that nobody would show any consciousness. Wayne, her head went to shaking like that, just like that, went to shaking under the power of God. I said, the Holy Ghost is even good in a coma. I said, the Holy Ghost is good in a coma. I'm hooked to a world you can't see. I said, I'm hooked to a world you can't see. I'm drawing air from a world you can't see. This world is not my home. I've set my affections on things above and not on the things of this world. This world holds nothing for me, folks. I'm telling you, God has called us, anointed us, appointed us, and placed us into the kingdom of God. Let's give him a shout of praise. So he said, I don't want you feasting off of malice and guile. I don't want you feasting off hypocrisies and envies. I don't want you to be feasting off of evil speaking. Evil speaking doesn't necessarily be saying bad words. Evil speaking can mean just tearing down what God says in his word. Because when God told him in the children of Israel, he said, you can conquer this city. You can conquer it. I give you power to take that Jericho. The Bible said they came back with an evil report. What was an evil report? Did they cuss? No. They just said, God's not right. We can't take it. And I'm telling you, an evil report is when you start denying what God has said about you. When you start saying, it looks like my kid's going to be a reprobate all your life. Will you shut that up, please? That's what not what God says. God says, as for me and my house, they will serve the Lord. Somebody said, Well, my teenagers are just going through that. You know, that's what they do. They'll all go through that. Why are you going to believe that? Why are you going to hold on to that? Why do you want to make punks out of your boys? Why do you want to make rock stars out of your kids? Why do you want to make rebels out of your children? You don't need to confess that kind of junk. Do you hear me tonight? This world is not our system that we live in. You change that thing around. Say, I'm not talking evil about my kids. I'm not going to say, well, that's natural. They're supposed to go out and get drunk every now and then. No, you change that thing around. You say, my child belongs to God. It's unnatural. It's unnatural. It's not natural for them to go to hell. It's not natural for them to walk in strife. It's not natural for this. It's natural for me and my house to serve God Almighty. He said, don't eat off of that old world anymore. I've given you new air to breathe. But if you're going to live, you're going to have to live by drawing life from the one who gave you life. That mechanism triggers in that baby, and that baby starts, never had a bite in its mouth ever. But all at once, God's designed that baby to draw. You've been designed. When you're born again, you breathe there. If that baby don't eat, it will die eventually. You've been designed by the Holy Ghost. You hear me today? You can't live off that world system anymore. You can't live off of us force feeding you. You've got to learn to come into the personal, intimate relationship with Christ. And the Bible said we have been made priests. So what is this all about? He said, offer up spiritual sacrifices. Two things in the scripture the Bible says. Number one, Hebrews chapter 12. He said to offer, Romans chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore we are seeing, we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily. Romans chapter 12. Now beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what God's will is. God's will is good, perfect, and the only thing he's going to accept. Now don't let a man think of himself any higher than he ought to, because God's given to every man the measure of faith. Hallelujah. There's nobody can get any closer to God than you can. There's nobody can get a prayer through any better than you can. What God's trying to tell you is this: all I want you to do is offer yourself and say, God, I'm going to do the best I can. And he's made you a priest. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says, let us therefore offer up the sacrifices of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. For to do good and to communicate, forget not, with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So every one of you, how many are born again tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Come on, one more time. How many born again? Say amen.
Amen.
If you are born again, according to Revelation chapter 1 and 6, you have been made a priest. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You were born into this priesthood. So now turn around and tell somebody. Say, if you're born again, go ahead, confess it. Say, you are a priest. You are a priest. Say it again. You are a priest. You are a priest. You're a priest, Josh. You're a priest, Stephen. You're a priest, Tad. We are priests. Everyone in here is priests. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to have an ordination paper. You don't have to have somebody to wave over you, spin over you, blow on you, throw their coat on you. If you've been born again, you have been made a priest unto God. And since you are a priest unto God, then God expects you to learn how to draw life from him, the one who gave you life. And the only way you can draw that life is to come into covenant priesthood prayer. So how you come into covenant priesthood prayer, God set up the tabernacle in the old covenant as a meeting place. We have a picture of that tabernacle. And that tabernacle was set in the middle of the congregation. It had a door that was 30 feet wide. And that door had four different colors, which represent the four gospels. Matthew is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shows us Christ the King, and his color is purple. He shows us that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then you have Mark. Mark shows us the crucified Christ. He has the color of scarlet, and he shows us as Christ the crucified Lamb of God. Then you have Luke. Luke is white. White represents the Son of Man and his righteousness. All God, but yet all man. And that's the color that Luke presents. Then you have John. He brings in the heavenly color of blue. And that heavenly color says it like this. That heavenly color says that he which was, which is, and is to come. He's Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. He is God that was manifest in the flesh. So as you see this tabernacle, you're going to have to see yourself. We can't be codependent, folks. We can't sit around with somebody with an eyedropper feeding us word and trying to give us some life. If you're really going to survive, and if this church is really going to the next level it's going to go, if God's really going to bring us into the signs and wonders, we can't be lone rangers, just one over here and one over there and one over here and one over there, and one of us one at a time coming into the presence of God, and somebody finally getting into the supernatural ark of God, where the power of God is released, and the supernatural power begins to open blinded eyes, set the captive free, deliver the drug addict. It's going to have to be a corporate unified body coming together. If we're going to see corporate unified miracles, there has to be this shaking off of intimidation, unworthiness, not good enough, and we're all going to have to learn how to pray. If a Muslim can learn how to pray at 6 or 7 years old, if he knows how to chant to Allah, then we need to learn how to pray and teach our children how to pray, because we don't have a God that cannot be touched. Our God can be touched because he loves us by his presence. We praise you, Lord. He came into the door. The door's wide. 30-foot door. came in, the first thing you see there, the first piece of furniture is a brazen altar, which represents the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing you see is a laver. A laver was a place where they washed their hands and washed their feet. It represents the Word of God. The Bible said He's going to sanctify His church with the washing of water by the Word of God, that He may present His body, that He may present His bride spotless before Him. The outer court is natural light. That means everyone in the world has a glimpse of the Word and the cross. Do you hear me? Everyone has a glimpse of the Word and the cross. The Word and the cross, it has natural light. It's been given to the world. But when you come into this place, that means through prayer, you're pressing your way forward. And when you press your way forward, you come into this place. This place has a golden candlestick, which represents the Holy Spirit. That means now the Spirit is moving in your prayer. Oh, how many knows what I'm talking about when I say that? I'll give you a little example here. You see, when I come to prayer, not necessarily here. It could be outside in the woods. It could be in my home. It could be anywhere. But I got this visual, this picture up there. I got this visual, this tabernacle. And I see myself coming through that door. And I walk. And I see this big, go back to that tabernacle. I see the tabernacle. And I see Jesus Christ. And I see me going into Christ. And I come in and I start saying, oh, I thank you, Lord. I enter your gates with thanksgiving. Why don't some of you help me do that a little bit? Oh, I praise you, Lord. Come on, it's real easy. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I say, come on, just come on, get with me. It's not going to hurt you. Hallelujah. And then I say, oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for the blood. I don't come in my own righteousness, for it's as filthy rags, but I stop at that brazen altar and I see your cross. And I know you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon you. And by your stripes I am healed. And then when I get finished there, I start praising God for the blood. After I praise Him for the blood at the brazen altar, then I go to the laver and I say, Lord, wash me with the washing of water by the Word of God. I want you to judge my works. I want you to judge me, Lord. Wash my hands, wash my feet. Hands represent your works. Feet represent your conduct. I say, God, judge me. I don't want to build with wood, hay, and stubble. Do you? I say, I don't want to build with wood, hay, and stubble, but I want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold is His divinity. That means He is God. Hallelujah. Silver is His redemption. That means He is a Savior. And the precious stones represent the stones on the breastplate of the high priest, which represent total unity. All stones in one piece. It means I don't want to do anything that's going to cause divisions contrary to the doctrines which have been taught. And I begin to wash my hands and I say, God, judge my conduct. Lord, judge my walk. And after I get finished there, I begin to praise Him some more. Hallelujah. I praise Him for His word in my life. I say, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. Come on, I'm trying to crank you loose here. Hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then after that, I walk into this next slide, I believe, is the one where you walk into this place right here. Now, this is all in my mind because I've been made a priest. There is the candlestick. There is the table of showbread. And there is the altar of incense. On this side would be the golden candlestick, which is now the light of the Spirit. Now I'm saying, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you to guide me in this prayer. I need you to guide me, Lord, as I come into this place. Holy Spirit, bring the bread of life alive to me. Holy Spirit. Then I go to that altar of incense and I grab and begin to shake. And I shake that incense in my mind, which was made of galbanum stacked in onycha, mixed with pure frankincense. And I begin to take those three spices and they were crushed finely. And I begin to shake the incense. More praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. and I praise him and I praise him until I get into the supernatural contact with God. And then when I get into that place, somebody said, well, aren't we there immediately when we say in the name of Jesus? Yes, we are. But there's a place you can get deep in the Spirit. Do you understand that? There's a place you can get deep in the Spirit. And we're drawing people into a depth of the Spirit of God. You are a holy priesthood. Listen, you don't have to have me. You don't have to have a televangelist. You don't even have to have a lot of trinkets that we use many times. All you need is faith and to know as that baby has to have that mama to live, you've got to have this supernatural prayer to survive. Now you can be a churchgoer and you can come here and get a little something sprayed on you a little bit, but how in the world would you like, I just come off of a little fast, you see, and how would you like to just live off of just about a 20-minute message every week, if you make it every week? How would you like to live off of a little 20-minute snack every week? It wouldn't be long till you would start fading. Now, you can draw strength from other people, but you can only do that so long. But there comes a time in your life that you've got to be able to do this. Somebody said, well, you're 50, you'll be 56 years old. You know how to do it. No, I began this when I was a teenager. The first time the gifts of the Spirit worked in me, I just got on fire for God. 1972, the power of God was flowing in my life. I remember I went into the bedroom. Everybody was gone. And I got in there, started praying. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I never had any teaching like this. You understand? I just heard people pray. So I'm saying, oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you. And then the Holy Ghost began to be my helper. And I began to pray in other tongues, and the Spirit of God began to move, and all at once the Spirit began to speak through my mouth, and my mouth began to prophesy to me. And the Spirit spoke and said, yay, my son. Told me, in the last days, gross darkness is coming up on the world. He said, don't seek the applause and the accolades of men. Don't seek to please men. He said, the spirit of Babylon is here and is making itself ready. He said, the spirit of corruption has already come to this world. But he said, I am going to pour out my spirit. And he said, if you will seek to be filled with my spirit, you shall overcome. He spoke through me, through prophecy, prophesied to myself. A lot of people say, oh, I would love it if the gifts of the Spirit would work through me. Let God use you in your prayer. I'm telling you, somebody said, I wish I was free to praise. Get free in prayer, you'll get free to praise. Somebody said, I wish I could dance in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. There's been times, I was 18 years old, I was invited down to Cornelius' house of prayer to hold a revival, and I didn't even know really what was going on. I didn't really know how to preach, and I said, God, you know, one of the meetings I held up in Indiana, Brother Wyatt asked me to come and preach, and I said, well, I'm not a preacher. He said, well, you're something. I said, well, I don't know what I am. He said, well, I want you to come up and do what you do. I said, well, basically, I just start singing and something just starts happening and people get saved. He said, that's what I want. Come on up. And his church had been going through some troubles. It would hold about 400 people. And when I got, and they told me before I got there that the church was down to maybe about 45 or 50. And when we pulled up to his church, yeah, I was in the car with him. I'm only about maybe 18 or 19. He said, oh my goodness, the neighbors are throwing a party. He said, look, he said, we can't even get in the church. He said, there's cars parked everywhere. And he said, I don't know what we're going to do. He went over to the neighbors and he knocked on the door. He said, what's going on? He said, we're going to have church tonight. And he said, I don't have a place. We don't have a place to park the people. They said, what do you mean what's going on? They said, the word is out that there's a boy coming from Kentucky and the Spirit of God's on him, and he jumped straight up and down and said, these people are all getting out of their cars and they're saying they're coming to hear this boy from Kentucky that jumped straight up and down. Oh, did I ever sink in my seat? I said, oh God, I'm in trouble now. The place was packed. They were filled up. The balcony was just jam-packed up, and I just got on the piano. I couldn't preach. I just threw my head back and started singing. I started singing, ain't no grace. That'll work every time in a Pentecostal church. I sung, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Somebody said, how in the world can you hold a revival singing there ain't no grave? That's irrelevant. That doesn't match the people. Listen, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can take there ain't no grave. And when I got finished singing, the power did hit me. I come off that piano bench. I jumped, I twirled. I went crazy, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God was upon me. And when I got up, I said, I don't claim to be a preacher or anything. I said, I don't even know what I am. I said, but the Holy Ghost is drawing you. And I shook and shouted, and they come running and screaming. You hear me? It's not you. It's the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. You know, people's all the time wanting ordination papers. I'm telling you what, there's no more power in the ordination paper than there is eating an apple before you preach. Do you hear me? There's no power in that ordination. You got to get it through prayer. You've got to come in the presence of God. If you want to see God move, you've got to move God. That revival went 3 weeks, and we were carrying a PA system up there. Mom was riding in Dad's truck with me. We were coming back, and I know this don't have anything to do with the message, but we'd been up there driving to Richmond, Indiana, preaching that meeting. Mom had went with me this time, and we were up there, and coming on the way back, I was flying. And all at once, the police officer stopped, and he was not very kind either, Brother Sergeant. He was not very kind. And he pulls down that window, and he said, you know how fast you're going? I said, no, sir. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I just held a big revival up in Richmond, Indiana. He said, who's this woman? I said, that's my mother. He said, are you his mother? She said, yeah. He said, you know how fast he was going? She said, no, I wasn't looking. And he said, revival? I said, yeah, and it was a good one too. He didn't know what to do. He was so angry at first, but the Spirit of God was still on us, you hear me? I'm not saying you'll get out of a ticket. But some of you'd sure help your life out if you'd get a hold of God somewhere. He was trying his best to knock the Holy Ghost out of me. He took that billy club like one. He said, I can take you to jail. I can take you to jail. He said, you know what it is going this much over the speed limit? And he was really yelling like that. But you know what? The power was still on me. I just kept on looking. I said, well, we had a good meeting. No, I'm telling you, it was good. I just kept on talking about the Lord. And finally he said, okay, drive back to Kentucky. But don't you ever speed in this section again, because I'll get you and I'll run you to jail. I'm telling you, it's not in the vocabulary. It's not in the song selection. It's not in the maybe the words. It's not in the relativity. It has you been with God? Have you been in His presence? I went down the mountains of eastern Kentucky and there to preach at a place called Cornelius House of Prayer. And I got my notebook on all these. I go back and look at my notebook. I say, glory be to Jesus. And I remember I'd get up in the day. Cap and Mayola had 27 milk cows. Now, I was raised in the country, but I wasn't raised on a farm. I was raised in the country. And all at once, Cap and Mayola said, they got up and I said, well, I'll help you. She said, honey, you ever milked before? I said, no. She said, well, if you want to, come on out and help us. And we'll go. They would sit and listen to the radio. And she'd say, Cap, hits a speaking. Hits a speaking of snow. He said, hits a speaking of what? Said, hits speaking of snow. They're talking about the radio. And I go, well, hits speaking. Hallelujah. So we went out in the barn. And Mayola had a bucket of soapy water. And she said, here, you wash them off and I'll hook up the milkers. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. She said, now this is old Bessie, the first one. You got to grab her tail and hook it up around a nail. If you don't, she'll kick you in the face. I thought, my goodness, this evangelism's getting dangerous now. We milked those cows early in the morning. She'd fixed a big breakfast, had fried chicken, fried corn, shucked beans, had biscuits and gravy, fried ham, had all the work hands working in there. And I'll never forget when the cows were milked and the breakfast was over, I walked out of that house and went down there at the creek, and the creek ran off. They had a a couple of hundred acres, and the creek ran right down to the middle of it, going down to the Rock Castle River, and I got into that creek. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. It don't make any difference. You hear me? You don't have to have a church to pray in. You don't have to have a building to pray in. I walked down in that creek bed, and while I got, soon as my feet got in, I said, oh, I love you. Shayla Mande Lohoria Kaya. Hail am I. You could hear my voice echoing up, and the Spirit of God came to me. I could feel myself going from the brazen altar to the laver. I could feel myself going from the laver into the very holy place, and from the holy place I could feel myself coming in contact with the Ark of the Covenant, the supernatural presence of God. And when that would happen, God would reveal to me what was going to take place. My cousin Bob and his wife Tammy, we would be on our way, and my wife and my sister Vicky, we'd be on our way going to preach a meeting. We'd be riding in the car, but because we'd been in the presence of God, because we'd been under the anointing, on our way, all at once in the back, he there'd be a message in tongues come from this side. On the other side of the car, the interpretation would say, there'll be four there tonight. They'll be bound, but I'm going to give you power over the powers that have them bound. I'm telling you, before we ever got there, many times we didn't even get enough to hardly get a White Castle to eat at on the way home, but we were eating food nobody knew about. We were tasting something nobody knew about. We've got buildings, we've got pews, we've got property, we've got sound, we've got technicians. Oh, but God have mercy, we need the Holy Ghost. I was riding in my car over the way all the, over to Calvary Tabernacle over in Cincinnati to go to church. Spirit of God spoke to me. Tears running down my face. I'm about 19, maybe 20 years, maybe, no, I think I was 19. Tears running down my face. The Holy Ghost spoke, said, yay, my son. This night I give you power to cast out devils. This night I give you power to cast out devils. I'm not talking about something. You got to have a praise team jumping up and down and got to have dancers and prancers and flag wavers and everything else. I'm not against modernism. Oh, but all your flag dancers and modernism won't amount to nothing if you don't have drawing life from the one who gave you life. Hey, Nailo, shout out to Bodakaya. I was 16 years old. Spirit of God was on me so strong, I didn't know what to do. I didn't need anybody to ask me to preach. They weren't going to ask a 16-year-old in the first place anyway, most of the time. But I got my guitar, and I'd go over to Brother and Sister Lawson's house, and I'd start strumming that guitar. My mind right now is sitting in that living room. She'd be sitting here. He'd be sitting there. I'd be sitting in a chair here, brought my guitar in. I'm playing that guitar and singing. All at once, I just sing the songs we knew to sing out of that old red songbook. I went to a conference one time and a man got up and he said, the reason why you can't have a move of God in this church because you still got those old songbooks. He said, if you'd get a wheelbarrow and throw those songbooks in here, he said, and get some new stuff, he said, you'd have a move of God. Don't limit God to new things. Don't try to limit God. Don't make him out to be a cheap piece of merchandise that you can buy him out. All you got to do is just get a new song and go somewhere and put somebody's CD in. God is greater than a cheap piece of merchandise. He don't care if you're poorer than Job's turkey and don't even have a songbook. He don't care if you can read or if you can write. He don't care if you have an education or don't have an education. All you gotta do is throw your head back and say, I need you. I need you. I need you. He'll bless you on the creek bank. He'll bless you in your living room. He'll bless you in the schoolhouse. He'll bless you in the church house. It makes no difference. God wants to touch you. God wants to bless you. God wants to stir your heart. Oh, I'd begin to take that guitar and sing the songs that I knew. Sorrows often meet us here, burdens press us so, and the way is hard to see that we have to go. Oh, but we'll press along. In about that time, Brother Lawson would go, Sister Lawson would go, yeah. About that time, I'd have to put the guitar down. I'd go to dancing right in their house. I feel sorry for people. It takes 27 verses of something. You're not even listening to the words. All you can hear is the drum roll and the thump of the bass. And you don't have, if you didn't have the thump of the bass and a I go to places and I know what they're going to do when they're singing the song. I can tell. It's all an orchestrated thing. They're waiting for the climax. They're waiting for this rhythm to take place. And when the rhythm starts, it's nothing but a theatrical rhythm that has turned them into something. I'm telling you, God, when He really moves, He don't need anything but God. He's God all by Himself. I said He's God all by Himself. He's God on the creek bank. He's God in the choir. He's God all over you. Oh, I feel the presence of God. I want to stir you. Why give your children up? Why give your youth group up? If God, shalala. He's God all by Himself. Say it a few times. Talk to Him. Come on, open your mouth. Say, you're God all by yourself. You're God all by yourself. You're God all by yourself. Lord, have mercy. I feel power in this house. You want to get the rebellion out of your children? Then you find a place to pray. You want to put your home back together? You find a place to pray. If you want to change your environment, get you a place to pray. Quit hanging off everybody else's experience. Come on, praise Him. There's something right now moving. Barbara, is Barbara here? Barbara Cheeks, she here somewhere? Barbara, your poor old mother was blind. And I'd get out of that car and I'd be afraid she'd fall. If he was out in the garden, if Willie, that's her daddy, was out in the garden or out in the field somewhere, I'd be afraid she, because she's blind, I thought she'd gonna fall. I'd knock on that door with my guitar in my hand. Barbara, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. They'd both sit there, and your daddy hadn't really prayed through yet. You know, he hadn't really sold out completely. He was like on the outskirts. But he'd sit over there with those arms folded like this. And all at once, I'd get that guitar and start singing. Spirit of God would start moving. Her little old blind mother would start shaking under the power, holding her. She'll keep her arms like this. Oh, I wouldn't trade that for 10,000 people out there. You hear me? So you're looking for a conference to invite yourself? Why don't you find somebody that needs a touch of God? Oh, I've got so much anointing. I've got so many talents. I've got so many abilities. I just know there's a 5,000 seat church getting ready to call me. And until they call me, I'm just going to sit here and wait until they call me. When you get a hold of this, whether it's one or 10,000, it don't matter. Josh, I'd pray down in that creek. I was afraid of snakes. That place was infested with copperheads and rattlers. And I did not believe in taking up serpents. But I felt like if I ran into one, that God would give me protection. And I wasn't looking for, I was looking for one. I was looking for it so I'd rather see it than it see me. And I'd walk in that creek bed. Tailamande lore ne nando ne ya no e ho shone ya 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 na ye ya he lo kaile na no shele ala hey, I know ye, man, I, the Holy Ghost would ignite me in the inner court. The Spirit would ignite me. Let me tell you, when I got up to preach, I look at my notes. You could hand it to a third grader, and they could preach it. I preach Jesus, the light. No. Ye are the light of the world, a city set on the hill. My message was, what kind of light are you? Are you a stoplight? You want to stop everything God wants to do in your life? Are you a green light? You have no control. The most elementary. But when I got done preaching, when I got done preaching, the altar was packed. I still believe there is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God. There's some of you that specifically need to get up out of your seat, and you're going to walk down this aisle as a public confession. Lord, I've heard your word, and starting tonight, I need you to help me. I'm going to press my way into a prayer life. I'm going to press my way into a prayer life. I haven't been in that depth of prayer. Come on, while I'm talking, just get up and start walking down here. I want you to come. I want you to get close, because we're going to stand right in front of this. Arms wide open. This is what Jesus is saying. He'll pardon you. This don't mean you don't pray. This just simply means the Holy Spirit is pressing you into your own personal witness. What God. It is no secret what God can do. Hallelujah. I really feel like there's 100 people need to be up here. I really feel like there's 100 people that God's speaking to your heart, and He's saying these words. I want you to press closer in your prayer life. I want you to move forward in your prayer life. Anybody else? You can stand, you can kneel, it don't matter to me, but I feel like there's 100 people should be as budged in as you can get in here, saying, God, I need to press my way into a prayer life with arms wide open. Stand together. I'd like for as many of you that will come and stand behind these and stand with these. I want to invite everyone personally. I've got one more night that I can pray with you, and that's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. If you would like to see this message in practice, come tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We're having open prayer meeting. This is our 40 days of consecration. We usually pray from 7 till 8. If you're on a schedule, you can go home after that. It may linger a little longer with testimonies. But I need to, come on, let's fill this up. Get a little closer. Come on, you young people. Let's get in here close. Let's get in here close. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, with arms wide open. It is no secret. Sinner man or sinner woman, you just come up with us.
It is no secret what God can do.
What He's done for us,
He will do for you.
I believe tonight that your arms are wide open. This song says what you have done for others. God, we know that other people have been touched supernaturally all over the world. In this house, God, we want to see chains broken. We want to see rebellion broken off of children. We want to see broken homes put back together. We want to see your love and your grace and your mercy disperse. God, you've done it before, and we believe you're going to do it again. And we surrender ourselves to prayer in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to touch your presence. We want to come into the Ark of the Covenant. We want to come into this holy place in Jesus' name. If you believe it, let's sing that chorus one more time. And everything you can imagine, believe God.
It is what God can do, what He's done.
For the next 2 minutes, I want you to pour your soul out. Say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you.
One more time, shout for victory. Mark, I'm going to have to play this one. You know the song, but... Hallelujah. We'll sing this and let you folks go home. You can go home actually whenever you want to. I just got a victory in my soul right now. God's doing something. I said God's doing something. God's doing something. And I'm going to praise Him while He does it. Oh yes, the answer's on its way. This I know. Jesus said it. I believe it. And it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we pray. And you can rest assured. Said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we pray, and you can rest assured the answers on the way. Oh yes, the answers on its way. Said it, I believe it, and it is so. Our Heavenly Father knows I need before we pray. Oh, and you can rest assured the answer's on the way. Oh, yes, the answer's on the way. This said, I believe it, and His soul. Our Heavenly Father knows our need before we pray. And you can rest assured the answer's on the way. Dismissed before I get plumb wild.